souls are crying.
Greetings and welcome to the Archie Hardy program as we declare to you, souls are crying and men are dying. We must do all we can to win the lost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and the message we bring you today is Public Sinner Number 1, which I ministered recently at Faith Tabernacle. This message is for every sinner who believes that God could not or would not save you, and for every Christian who has battled with condemnation and guilt over your sinful past. I'll tell you at the close of the program how you can order this valuable message, Public Sinner Number 1.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, No sweeter words have ever been said. This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. He can save the chief publican, because a publican, what that refers to is he was a tax collector. He was your unfriendly IRS agent. And he was rich. How do you think he got rich? Cheating people on their taxes. Now, he is a Hebrew. He's a Jew. And he is the one who's going between his Jewish brethren and Caesar in Rome collecting the taxes. That right there is enough to make him, they don't like him. Just because he's collecting taxes for their oppressors. But if that's not bad enough, he cheats them. He takes more, and there's nothing they can do about it. They can't say, I'm taking you to court. I'm going to go to this agency or that agency. They didn't have any recourse of justice. And he spent his life getting rich, robbing the poor by taking their taxes and putting some in his own pocket. Amen? So he was despised. He was a chief sinner. Amen? But he heard about Jesus. We're not given information about how or what. All we know is that he heard. And he heard Jesus was coming to town. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And someone had talked about Jesus, and it had piqued his interest. And when he heard that Jesus was coming to his hometown, and he looked, and here comes Jesus, but there's this crowds of people that are following and thronging him, and he being a short guy. And see, a lot of times people that are very short are more aggressive. They feel they have to be more assertive. They don't want people taking advantage of them because they're short. Have you ever met them short people that are mean like a bulldog? And yet you can meet these huge, big guys, and they got a gentle spirit about them. I'm looking at Lonnie Jr. over there. He's one of them big, big guys. He's scary looking, but he's got a gentle spirit. Amen? And so we've got Zacchaeus. He's a short guy, but he's like a bulldog. But you know, God can save the most unlikely sinner. And he climbed up in the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And when you go out of your way to seek after God, some of you said, I'd have never found God. I've never felt God. He's never told me anything. I don't know if I believe that. If God does a sign or a miracle or speaks to me, I hear his voice or something, I'll believe him. But that's not how it works. He said, the day that you seek me with your whole heart. Some people only say that for an excuse. They want an excuse because they really don't really want to know the answer. They just want to have an excuse. But he said that he climbed up in the tree. He went out of his way. And when you say, God, I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to open this Bible. I'm going to open up to the book of John. I'm going to read the gospel of John. I'm going to read your words that you said you must be born again. And I'm going to read this word, and I want you to reveal to me through your word. You're waiting for him to talk in your ear. And he said, I done wrote to you 66 books. Read them. Start off by reading what he already wrote to to you. Amen? And this word will come alive in your spirit if you're sincere. Amen? The blinders will come off like they came off of Saul. And so he ran up in that tree. And you know, when you go out of your way, God sees it. All them people are thronging Jesus, but he stopped right at that tree and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come on down. Hurry up. Run to the house and get the dinner table ready because I'm coming to your house today. My goodness, Zacchaeus could not believe it. He's coming to my house. And he was happy. He was joyful. And he ran and Jesus came. And a lot of people said, oh, don't he know this man is a sinner? A chief sinner. The worst kind of sinner. And I don't read there in those verses we read where Jesus even told that guy a sermon. Didn't preach to him. Didn't have to tell him he's going to hell. Didn't have to do none of that. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you got to do that. The Bible says, with some saved by fear, pulling him out of the fire, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. But he said, on others have compassion, making a difference. Zacchaeus had never met anybody that liked him. He never had met anybody that was nice to him. They hated him because he was the tax collector. People hated him and they treated him that way and he treated them back that way and it was a vicious cycle. But here comes Jesus being kind to him. And you know what I find ironic? The name Zacchaeus means pure. When that mother and father held that baby in their arms and they looked down at that new little boy and had him circumcised, they said, we name you Zacchaeus, we name you pure. And he had lived a life that was so unclean. He had a life that was so full of filth, of sin. His parents had high hopes for him. Amen. And the devil said, no, he's mine. I got him. But you know what? Jesus said, oh, that's where you're wrong. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. He didn't preach him a sermon. He didn't tell him that you need to do A, B, C, D, and E. Just the presence of God. Just the love of the Savior. Just Jesus said, I want to come to your house. Without any prompting, he stood up on his own. He said, Lord, all the people I've cheated, all the money I've taken, all the things I've stolen, I'm going to give it back to them. And I'm going to give it back to them fourfold. Double what he was required to do. If someone was caught stealing, they had to repay restitution and they had to pay double what they took. He paid quadruple. And that showed his heart was sincere because he obviously had a covetous heart, but now he had a heart change. And Jesus said, today, this day, salvation has come to this house because in spite of some of you murmurers on the sidelines, I have come to seek and save the lost. And I pray today before this day ends that someone here today can say, this day salvation has come to my house. Hallelujah! Jesus said, the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy men's lives, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Sooner or later, the devil will show you who he really is. And you know it will be to your benefit if it's sooner. Amen? Whatever it will, that will cause you to realize that Jesus is the one who has life and that more abundantly. All right, so we're back in Timothy where we were, where Paul gave his testimony. And he said, this is worthy of all acceptation. If you don't get anything else, I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, you probably already figured it out by now. The word chief in the Greek means first. It can mean first in quantity or first in order. It can also mean the greatest, the best. Amen? And so we see here that Paul said that I was the chief sinner. I mean, I am the chief sinner. That's the point I want to make here. He did not say, I was. He said, I am. Now, please don't think that that means that Paul was still living in sin.
Come on now.
Amen? It's not what it means. What it means is as he saw himself, he said, I obtained mercy. I obtained grace. And he saw himself as a sinner saved by grace. Forgiven and saved by grace. And the purpose of this mindset is that every day we must be cognizant of our daily need of God's grace, both for ourselves and for others. When we see someone stumble, when we see someone fall, we're not to be high-minded and holier than thou and pharisaical. The Bible says if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, you being spiritual, in a spirit of meekness, restore that one considering your own self, lest you be tempted. You've heard it said, and it's true. But for the grace of God, there go I. And so that was what Paul was saying. It's by God's grace. And he realized that every day he was dependent on that grace. And he never got over it. Never, ever, ever. Because God not only saved him, the chief of sinners. We read he said, he put me in the ministry. Oh, the depths and the love of the grace of God and the love of God. Amen. That he not only saved public sinner number one. Because that's another way Paul could have said it, of whom I am chief. He could have said, I am public sinner number one. He not only saved him, but he put him in the ministry. Hold your place and go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We'll read one verse, verse 10. But it's one of my favorites, and I pray it all the time. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. While you're going there, I'll get ready. All right. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Amen. What a revelation of God's unsurpassing grace. If he can save the chief of sinners, he can save anyone. Paul's conversion proved the worst sinners can make the best Christians and the best soul winners. He was the least likely to be saved, but he became the poster child for God's mercy. He hated Jesus. He forced Christians to blaspheme and put them to death because he was blinded by religious lies. Like him, there are sinners today who think they're good guys. They don't see their need for God. But don't give up on them. God can open their eyes just like he did Paul's and like he did Kamal Salid's, a Muslim jihadist who met Jesus Christ through the love and goodness of Christians. If you missed his testimony or that of Pam Howard's, a crack addict who was a victim of incestuous sexual abuse as a child, you can order this entire message on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the R.G. Hardy Radio Ministry. Ask for offer SK160, that's S as in Sharon, K as in Knots, 160. The mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or you can order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. The offer number again for public sinner number one is SK160. Send your love gift of $10 or more to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, or order at rghardy.org. Even if you don't wish to order today, we would love to hear from you and to know whether or not the radio ministry is blessing you. Why not write us today or go online and let us know how you're blessed by the R.G. Hardy broadcast. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.